Our Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the justification you give us through faith, that we are made right with you without having done anything, just believing, a passive faith. But yet that passive faith must become active, or else it is dead. That's what your word says. So Lord, show us, because we need to be sanctified in all our thinking and our actions. And faith needs to produce love and good works. Love for you, love for others. Pray you guide us through our study tonight. We ask it, believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we have up on the board there, faith. And last week I concluded with this verse from John chapter 9. Okay, where'd it go? There it is. As long as it is day, this is Jesus speaking, as long as it is day, we, some versions say I, we must do the work of him, that's God who sent me. Okay? Night is coming when no man can work. And I ended it, and we ended it on this word must. Right, Pat?
Right.
We talked about that. So Pat and I talked about that after. And she wanted to know, will faith or must faith, right? Will faith or must faith? Is it faith will versus faith must? No. And actually, I thought about it. Will and must are not the same thing. That's why I told you, though, Pat. And I thought about it more. It's not the same thing. But they go together. Okay, we're going to see that tonight. Faith will if it is stimulated. There's the word. You're going to fill in that blank there. Faith will produce love and good works if and when stimulated. Faith is first passive. You believe. You don't do anything. That's passive. Okay? When in Genesis chapter 12, when God first called Abram, he called him and Abram believed. That's when he was justified. Passive faith. But then he left. He obeyed. Okay, that's active faith. Okay? So faith was, and we'll see in a little while what stimulated his faith. What's that?
Hold up a second.
Yes.
Can you go back to one page to the quote? It's not on the
case. Sure.
As long as it is day, we must do the work of who's we?
Us. He was talking to his disciples.
Now who's speaking? Jesus.
Jesus speaking.
So he's saying, we must do the work of him who sent me.
Right. Right, the one who sent Jesus is God the Father, and so we must do those works. We collectively as the church, okay? We must do the works of him who sent me. Right? So faith has to be stimulated, right? And we're going to look at that tonight. This is one of the oldest newsletters in Christianity in America. It began in 1808. Called the Herald of Christian Liberty. And from volume 106, it says, fear must be suppressed, faith must be stimulated. And there we have the word must too, okay? Faith, your faith in Christ, which is passive, we begin passive. Remember, it's that passive faith that puts us in the boat. But then it has to be stimulated to work, to love, to obey. The word stimulate, Dictionary.com defines it, one, to rouse to action or effort, as by encouragement or pressure, to spur on. Two, to excite to its functional activity. In other words, faith has to function. Otherwise, it's dead. If it doesn't function, it's dead. It's worthless. Okay? So it has to be excited to functional activity. To invigorate. Okay? To invigorate. That's what it means to stimulate. Some very important synonyms for the word stimulate are arouse, awake, stir, activate, drive, motivate, provoke, inflame, kindle, spark, refresh, renew, and revive. And that's why we pray for revival. That's why we need a personal revival and a world revival, so that faith will be stimulated to love and good works, to greater obedience to God, greater missionary work, godlier living, faith has to be stimulated, aroused, awakened, stirred up. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Now, here we see right away why faith needs to be stimulated, because it wavers. So we're commanded, don't let it waver, for he is faithful that promised, get back to that work of grace, and let us consider one another to provoke or stimulate, notice, unto love and good works. Okay? It's not love that is stimulated, but rather the product of the stimulation, it's unto love. Good works are not stimulated, it's unto good works. And what is it that produces love and good works? Faith, right? Okay? So it has to be faith that's stimulated to produce love and good works, right? So we are holding fast our profession, okay? But it has to be stimulated, okay, by well, we're going to see what stimulates in just a few minutes, okay? Has to be stimulated. Unto love and good works. From Wiese's Word Studies of the New Testament, he goes into the word consider, or let us consider, which speaks of attentive, continuous care. The exhortation is to take careful note of each other's spiritual welfare. The purpose of this attentive, continuous care is to provoke each other to the exercise of love and good works. The word provoke means an inciting, incitement, a stimulation. The word is used also in a bad sense, for instance, irritation. Here it is used in a good sense, that of stimulation. So his translation, he's a Greek scholar, translation is, let us constantly be giving careful attention to one another for the purpose of stimulating one another to love and good works. Okay? So when faith is stimulated, when faith is revived, it will produce love and good works. You see, Pat?
Yeah.
So it will when stimulated. Okay?
It's exactly what I did with that thing when I read it to other people.
It stimulated you.
And it stimulated them.
And it stimulated them. All right. That's what it's all about. Okay? Stimulation. Okay? So now, what needs to be stimulated? Not our courage, not our joy, not our love and good works, not our hope, not our peace, but faith, because all of that comes from faith. Okay? Especially love and good works. Everything comes from faith. Faith is the basis. And Paul says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Why? Because faith is the foundation. Faith in Christ. It starts off as passive faith, believing, and then must be stimulated by one of many things to love and good works. And again, though, that love and good works is love for God first, obedience to God, love of holiness, love of His Word, and then love to others. So whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's telling us that faith is the foundation for all the Christian's life. Remember, Peter says, add to your faith. Add, keep adding till you get up to love for everyone. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face, and might perfect or complete that which is lacking in your faith. Okay? Night and day praying. Why? Because their faith is lacking. It's not perfect. Okay? James tells us what perfects faith. What was it? James chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. What perfects our faith? James 2, 21 and 22. Someone read that for us. James tells us what perfects faith. James chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Who has it? Okay, Pat?
21 and 22.
Mm-hmm.
Was it not Abraham our father? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See if thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect.
Okay, what made faith perfect?
Works.
Works. Okay. And so, Paul's saying, I'm praying night and day that your faith be perfected. So what's lacking in their faith?
Works.
So It's very simple. Works perfect our faith. Okay? And so he's praying that their faith will produce more works, okay? Which is growth in love for God, holiness, sanctification, okay? Christ-likeness. This is from the Exposition of Reformed Doctrine, a popular explanation of the most essential teachings of the Reformed churches, and the Arminian churches will agree with this. Through the imputed righteousness of Christ, which he, the sinner, accepted in faith, again, that's passive faith, he is henceforth free from guilt and condemnation. But he is not free from the power of sin. And we all know that. If you're a Christian, you know you're not free from the power of inner corruption and sins. Right? He is not free from the power of sin in his heart and life. He is justified, but he is not holy. His constant aim must be to become holy. We talked about blamelessness Sunday, that is to be our desire, to be blameless, holy. To be freed from the corrupting power of sin and devote himself in loving obedience to God. And I added there, this is the process of sanctification, which both Calvinist and Arminian churches agree in. Okay? Wesley puts it this way. Number one, you have pardon, which is salvation begun. This is received by faith, which produces works. Then you have holiness, which is salvation continued. This is faith working by love. Then you have heaven, number three, which is salvation finished, is the reward of this faith. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Okay? So that's how Wesley puts it. First there's pardon, and then you have that faith which produces works. It's under stimulation. We'll see what stimulates it. And it stimulates it to number two, which is holiness. Faith working by love. And then it's finally rewarded, okay, with heaven. So is this automatic? Does faith automatically produce good works? No. As I said earlier, it needs to be stimulated. Okay? Again, we go to Kenneth Wiest, Greek New Testament Word Studies, the anointing with the Holy Spirit, which every believer has. Right? His ministry, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in the believer today is not only for service, but also for sanctification. Being set apart from all that is sinful, all the corruption that's in your own heart, so you no longer have to perform those corrupt deeds, though you're still there, you don't have to follow their leading. Called sanctification, but his indwelling is only potential so far as his ministry is concerned. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes in, you have potential now. Right? His indwelling does not at all mean that his ministry is performed in its fullest manifestation and in an automatic way. Right? So obedience to God is not automatic, but it's there. Has to be stimulated. It's in faith. Okay? Because faith itself, passive faith, is an act of obedience. Believing the gospel is an act of obedience, but it has to be stimulated. Right? So the Holy Spirit just doesn't work automatically. Right? 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. And this really is number one on your list. I don't have it listed as one because we're going to do it a little bit differently, but this is number one. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Here Paul is stimulating their faith. Now notice, your work of faith, what follows? Labor of love. Okay? Again, no matter where you go in the Bible, faith without works is dead. Doesn't have to say it that way, but here it says, faith and labor of love. Okay? So, faith must produce a labor of love, and it will produce a labor of love when properly stimulated. Okay? Labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Okay? Now, what he's doing here, Albert Barnes explains, here as elsewhere, the apostle makes the fact that they deserved commendation for what they had done. A stimulant to arouse them to still higher attainments. Let's go back. What? Here's the commendation. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and love. In a sense, he's applauding them. He's thanking them. You can say he's praising them. Right? Of course, it's all through the grace of God, but he is commending them for their work of love. Right? And this should stimulate them to still higher attainments of love for God and works for God. As we see here in the next verse, or the 12th verse, sorry. and the Lord make you to increase. He just thanked them and praised them for their labor of love, stimulating them by commending them. That's number one on your list, commendation. Okay. So when you tell someone they did a good job for the Lord, or that was an encouraging word, you commended them, okay? And that should stimulate their faith to do more of that, or to do other things like it. Okay? So the Lord make you to increase. So, in other words, Paul's saying, that's not enough. I'm commending you for your faith and love, but don't stop there. Growth is a sign of life. If you stop growing, you're dead. You're dying. You're backsliding. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as you do, as we do toward you. Okay. So that's number one. He talked about, Barnes said, about higher attainments. Okay. Let's go back to that. A stimulant to arouse them to still higher attainments in love, in godliness. John Calvin talks about those who feel they're elect and rest on that, okay, to their doom. They say that they feel secure in vices, in other words, sins, because if they are the number of the elect, their vices will be no obstacle to the ultimate attainment of life, okay? So you're cursing, you're drinking, you're, you know, whatever bad things you do willfully. Well, I'm saved. That's what he's saying. I'm saved. The vices, my sins, will be no obstacle to the ultimate attainment of life, means eternal life. But Calvin says, Paul reminds us that the end for which we are elected is that we should be holy and without blame before him. There's blameless again. Ephesians 1:4. If the end of election is holiness of life, it ought to arouse and stimulate us strenuously to aspire to it, instead of serving as a pretext for sloth. Okay, so if a Christian wants to believe once saved, always saved, I say, God bless you, go ahead, but don't let it lead you to spiritual sloth, because then you're in danger. Okay, no slothful Christian will ever inherit eternal life. Right? So if you want to believe it, fine. Okay, John Calvin believed it. And here he's warning those who do believe it. Okay? Warning his church who believes it. Okay? It's not a pretext for spiritual sloth. Okay? He also says concerning prayer, this is a prayer of his. Grant, Almighty God, that since we are so disposed to indulge sloth, which we are, that's our human nature, and so devoted to earthly things that we easily forget our holy calling, except thou dost continually stimulate us. It's our faith. He doesn't stimulate things above faith. He stimulates the faith which produces those things, right? So when we say stimulate us, we're saying, Lord, stimulate my faith, my trust in you. Now we're going to look at some ways in which God stimulates our faith unto love and good works. We already saw one. That's commendation. It's number one. Number two is fellowship, Christian fellowship. Gathering together is to stimulate our faith. Right? Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. He's talking to brethren in Christ. Brethren in Christ can have an evil heart of unbelief. That's what the word says. In departing from the living God. Now, we all have evil in our breasts. Okay? We all have sin. But if our faith is left unstimulated, we're going to start departing from the living God. Start drifting away, little by little. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ, if, and that's a big word there, two letters, big word, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. In other words, if we don't allow the sin within us to cause us to depart from the living God, if our faith is stimulated. Albert Barnes comments on this. He says, to exhort one another constantly and to stimulate one another that they might not fall away. Okay? So we're not only to provoke to love and good works, but to stimulate our faith so that we don't fall away. Because we're saved by faith, right? And we walk by faith. Glovis G. Chappelle. There are many today who have separated themselves from the services of the church, from the fellowship of the saints, because of a deadening indifference. They have become absorbed in 1,000 other matters till they have become doubly uninterested in the things of the church and in the affairs of the kingdom. Right? We don't come to church because we need something to do. We have nothing to do on Wednesday night, so we're coming to church. That's not why we go to church. Okay? We go to church because we're interested in the things of the church and the affairs of the kingdom of God. Right? And we want to exhort one another. We want to encourage one another. Right? So, fellowship, that's number two, fellowship stimulates faith. Right? From the Reformed Lutheran Church in Medea, Pennsylvania, Table Talk, they just wrote Table Talk, so it was the head of their article, Table Talk stimulates faith. Where does Table Talk come from? Who knows? Luther, Martin Luther. Martin Luther would sit around the table and talk doctrine, and talk religion, talk Christianity, talk faith. Right? He would take the sermon, bring it to the dinner table. Right? So table talk or fellowship around the table, Christian talk, right? Nonsensical talk doesn't stimulate faith, right? But spiritual talk does. It stimulates faith. Table talk stimulates faith. So that's number two, fellowship. Right? Number three, go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. 23 and 24, pardon me. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. That's heaven. You shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Number three is rewards. God offers many rewards. Told you about Genesis back in Genesis chapter 12. And what did God say? To stimulate his obedience. To stimulate his faith that he just had. His newborn faith in the Lord. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. There's a reward. And I will bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. Reward. He believed God, and then God stimulated his faith to obedience. So God stimulates our faith by offering us rewards. Our labor is not in vain if it be in the Lord. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, if you do not faint. Okay? So our faith has a tendency to faint, and we give up on the work because we don't see the end. Right? The Bible says Moses suffered with the people of God through the desert because he had respect for the reward at the end of the way. Okay? It was the reward that kept him going. Stimulated his faith. Thomas Watson, the Puritan preacher, said, and what may stimulate a servant in his work is that encouraging scripture, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Okay? So what may stimulate a servant in his work? That God will repay. God will reward. Okay? And we read in Matthew 16, for the Son of Man will come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to their works. Remember that scripture in Matthew 25, where the sheep are put on the right hand, the goats on the left, and they're rewarded. Okay, some are rewarded with nothing, with damnation, okay, hellfire, okay, because they did not have works of love. Okay. Which that means they didn't have the right faith. The faith was not perfected. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. And again, we see both of these are according to our works. Okay? According to our works. So that was number three. Okay? Rewards. Number four is Holy Scripture. Psalm 119:25. My earthly life cleaves to the dust. Revive and stimulate me according to your word. Okay? Revive, again, revive and stimulate are synonyms of each other. Revive and stimulate me according to your word. God's word is to stimulate us. So if we are reading God's word in the right frame of mind, it will stimulate our faith. Okay? If we're just reading it, like I used to read it when I was a teenager, my cousin John and I used to have a contest, who could read the most that week? And we come to church Sunday and I say, John, I read 6 chapters. Oh, I read 12. Oh, okay, they'll try to read more. So that was why we read scripture, right? If you read scripture to know God, if you read scripture for that aim of the blameless life, then indeed your faith will be stimulated by the word of God. To many, the word of God's boring. It's boring because they're not reading it with the right intention, right? To be made like Christ. Just a story here, story there. Read it to be like Christ. Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 and 2, Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders. Those I've written. These are my letters, my epistles, to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Okay? That is love of God. If we're not thinking wholesomely, we're not loving God. If we're thinking selfishly and covetously and lustfully, greedily, selfishly, we're not wholesome thinking. It's not wholesome thinking. So the letters that Peter says, it's not just his letters, but all of Scripture, to stimulate us to wholesome thinking, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by your Lord and Savior through your apostle. Okay? The word of God. Paul says to Titus, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie has promised before the world began. And if we go to the Amplified version, we read a little bit differently. It gives a little more light to it, a little clearer understanding. Paul, a bondservant to God and an apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ the Messiah, to stimulate and promote the faith. Notice, stimulate and promote faith. So faith is the object of the stimulation. To stimulate and then to promote the faith, which means to build up the faith, to increase the faith of God's chosen ones, and to lead them on to accurate discernment and recognition of an acquaintance with the truth, which belongs to and harmonizes with and tends to godliness. Again, here we see why faith is to be stimulated. It tends to godliness. And so those that aren't living godly lives, their faith is not being stimulated. Right? You want faith that stimulates to godliness, resting in the hope of eternal life. That was number 4, right? Holy Scripture. Number 5, the Holy Spirit. These are not given in any order of importance, just a kind of a haphazard splattering of them there. Number 5, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. I think that's NIV translation, right? Ever be filled and stimulated by the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. This is back in the 50s, he said that. It's more true today. So if the Holy Spirit was taken away from the church today, 95% of the work would continue and no one know the Holy Spirit's gone, right? If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, days of the apostles, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. In other words, the early church was inspired, stimulated by the Holy Spirit. We're stimulated by numbers.
But that's not good, right?
No, it's not good. No, when you read Tozer's look at the church, it's never good. Tozer doesn't see too much good in the church today, the way it's going, right? That's not good. No, he's saying that the Holy Spirit is not stimulating us. Okay? Other things are stimulating us. Okay, the music, the programs, but not the Holy Spirit. So in the New Testament times, it was the Holy Spirit that stimulated. So we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us, to stimulate our faith unto more love and good works. Number six, we have big feet and little feet. Can you see little feet? Little feet, right? Examples, okay? The little guy is following the big guy. We need the proper examples. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In other words, Jesus Christ is our example, and therefore his example should stimulate our faith into doing the same as he did. Okay? And I like the placement of this because John 3:16, as we know, is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Here we have 1 John 3:16, and we see John 3:16 again here. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And now we see the second part, our duty, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Okay. So Jesus Christ is our example. The more we look at Christ as his example to us, the more our faith should be stimulated to be like him. Someone wrote this about a young woman, Christine, who had a brain cancer and died, and was encouraged, stimulated by her life and death. And he wrote, the principle is simple. Displayed faith stimulates faith. Okay. Christina, who had brain cancer, faced the enemy many times in unbelievable faith. Her faith ignited faith in others. Only weeks before her death, she got out of bed and visited me after my heart surgery. Even now, her faith makes me want to get up and move ahead. No longer am I paralyzed by fear. So this dying woman, her faith, stimulated by God's word, by the Holy Spirit, by all that we've talked about, stimulated this man's faith. Okay. So our faith can stimulate others. Okay. That's our example. If you're not setting a good example, do you have a question, Mike?
No, I was just going to
comment. Go ahead, comment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Like most people will say, oh yes, I take a bullet for so and so, but do you really love them enough to visit them in the hospital? Do you love them enough to cook them a meal when they're in need or cry with them? You know what I mean? So the oh yeah, I'll take a bullet for somebody thing, usually everyone says that. But when it comes down to the practical everyday things of life, most people fall short.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way to encourage other people to do that is to just do things yourself.
Yes.
Like she says.
Yes.
Instead of like beating people over the head, like, what's wrong with you? Why don't you do this? Why don't you
right.
do that? You know.
You do it.
You do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You take the initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And not so that people will see you, but with prayerfully that you would be an example to other people instead of like maybe getting angry or something.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Displayed faith stimulates faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to display that faith. Okay. Remember what Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. That's the light of your faith, your belief. Let that shine. It's Christ in you. So they may see your good works, because that's what's got to come out. Good works, and they glorify your Father in heaven. Okay? And what better way to glorify your Father in heaven for them to take up your example and do what you just did. Okay? So yes. All right. Example. That was number six. Number seven, reflection. To reflect. To meditate upon the goodness of God, the past blessings of God. Psalm 103, 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, because we are forgetful creatures. Okay? Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, and even though if they're not healed now, we have the future promise of all healing, right? Who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So he's saying here, do not forget, okay, all his benefits. Okay, in other words, reflect upon them. Meditate upon those benefits. Philip Keller, who wrote A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, if you haven't read that book, you should. Excellent book from a pastor who's also a shepherd of sheep. He shepherded people, but before that he shepherded sheep. Okay? He says, I know of nothing which so stimulates my faith in my Heavenly Father as to look back and reflect on his faithfulness to me in every crisis and every chilling circumstance of life. Over and over he has proved his care and concern for my welfare. Should be again and again I have been conscious of the Good Shepherd's guidance through dark days and deep valleys. So he said nothing stimulates his faith as much as reflecting on God's goodness. Okay, so reflect a lot on God's goodness, on his past mercies. Even though he may not be giving you anything now, reflect on the past. Okay? Number 8, our sight or our senses? Sight or senses, the senses. And this is very obvious, and if this does not stimulate your faith, I don't know what will. All right. You don't have to read the Bible. If you have living faith and you aren't reading your Bible, you aren't looking at any example, you aren't in fellowship, you aren't reflecting on God's past, this should stimulate you, right? Your eyes, your ears. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw, that's the man who fell among thieves, story of the Good Samaritan, the priest passed by on the other side. His faith was not stimulated, right? He had belief in God, he was a priest. But he didn't have living faith. See? Why? It did not have compassion upon this one who had fallen. Likewise, a Levite, another one who believed in God, and the Moses and Ten Commandments, he believed in all that. When he arrived at that place, he came and looked, he saw, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, okay, didn't have to open up his Bible, didn't have to go to church and find fellowship, he saw him. Okay, and he had compassion. His faith was stimulated to go to him, bind up his wounds, or pouring in oil and wine, putting him on his animal, taking him to the inn, taking care of him, paying money. What? Just because he saw it. Okay? If we hear of someone's need, okay, we sense someone's in need, okay, that should be enough to stimulate us if our faith is alive. Okay? 1 John 3:7. Whoso hath this world's goods, possessions, we all have possessions, okay, and sees his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? Okay.
That comes right after 3:16.
Yes, it does, right. So when we see a need, we hear about the need, we sense a need through our senses. You might not use all your senses. Okay? I don't know, maybe if you smell someone who hasn't had a shower in 5 or 6 months, you know that person needs a shower, so invite them to your shower. Okay?
Taste their terrible food.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, basically hearing and seeing, but the other senses. Okay. Acts 17:16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw, just saw, that the city was given over to idols. So man, our faith should be stimulated every time we see a sinner. Okay, every time we see something wrong, every time we read the newspaper, see something news, where something bad goes wrong. Okay, our faith should be constantly stimulated as he was provoked when he saw the city given to idols. We've talked about the Philippian jailer a number of times recently. He was moved to care for the wounds of Paul and Silas, no doubt because he saw the wounds of Paul and Silas, right? So when he brought them to his house, the first thing he did was care for their wounds because he saw they were bleeding, they were in pain, okay? Okay? Remember, he was a new believer, and yet it now went from passive faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, it went from passive faith to active faith because he was stimulated not by the word of God yet. Paul preached to them the word of God afterward. There was no real fellowship. It was stimulated by what he saw, okay, by their distress. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ compels us. And so when faith is stimulated, that love will compel us to do something. Now, we get to the word must, okay? Our faith will produce love and good works when it is stimulated, but it must be stimulated. Okay. God has given us everything we need to have a stimulated faith. Okay. Must, defined as, number one, to be obliged or bound, such as, I must keep my word. Okay. I must. Now, the word must puts emphasis, urgency, okay? Do all Christians keep their word? No. They break promises. So therefore, we inject the word must. I must keep my promise to that person. Okay? Because your faith has to be stimulated by the word must, okay? Number two, must means to be under the necessity to, okay? We must eat to live. Necessity. Okay. I must have faith in Christ. I must obey Him. Okay. The word must stimulates our faith. Okay. I must care for that person. Okay. So when the Good Samaritan saw the man beaten, in his heart, he said, I must help that man. See? There was a will there, but now I must. It stimulates. It gives us urgency. Three, must means to be required or compelled to. We must hurry or we will be late. Okay? We are required or compelled. Again, the love of Christ compels us, said the Apostle Paul. Right? So we must, in a sense. Okay? Right? We must not deny Jesus Christ. What happens if we deny Jesus Christ? He will deny us. So we must not deny him. Okay? But there are those who have denied him. There are those who had faith who've denied him. When the torture was too great. When the threat was too great. So must will stimulate our faith. We must not deny him. For to be forced to. Must means to be forced to. I'm tired. I must sit down. Okay? We are forced to. Sometimes we need to be forced, okay, into action. But not externally, but through faith. Okay, so when we read in the scriptures, we're going to read just a few of the scriptures that tell us what we must do and how we must live. Okay? In a sense, it is forcing us in a godly way, right, to get on our knees and pray for greater faith. To be forced. I'm tired, I must sit down. Five, to feel the urge to. I must buy this car. So this is what how must is defined, right? Keep that in front of you there, as I shall, as you look at some of these verses here. John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I should have highlighted that, I must decrease. Now, John the Baptist had great faith. Okay? Great faith. But yet he said, I must. See? He was inciting his own faith by using that word. Okay? He could have said, I will. But you can say, I will all you want, and you won't. Right? Oh, I will be holy, and you're not. I will love that person, but you don't. I will forgive that person, but you don't. So you can say, I will all you want. Okay? But when you say, I must, It's not wrong to say that. He must, Christ must increase in my life. Because naturally, faith will just rest passively. Faith doesn't want to work unless it's incited. Unless it's revived. Unless it's stimulated. He must increase, but I must. So he must grow in me, and I must decrease. He cannot increase if I don't decrease. So both must. He must increase, I must decrease. In other words, he's saying, I'm under necessity. If I want to be like Christ, if I want to fulfill my course with joy, as the Apostle Paul said of him, then I must get out of the way. I have to get out of the way and let him increase in me. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 28. Again, these are words to the church of Jesus Christ. They have faith, but Paul uses the word must, and again, I'm using different translations. Some use the word ought, some must, some other words, but the meaning is must. Here we have must. Therefore, each of you must, and again, I failed to highlight that, okay? So you can highlight that in your scriptures. Each of you must put off falsehood. Do Christians, true Christians, ever lie? Yes, they do. Of course they do. As a Christian, I've told lies. Right? And if you say you haven't, you're lying. Right? You're a big liar. We must put off. Why does he say that? What translation you have, Pat, there?
Oh, I'm looking at the King James.
Oh, you're looking at King James.
What is that, 28?
Yeah, 25. Starts with 25. See, what this might be the...
I'm looking for the word must.
No, it's probably not. It's probably not in the King James right now. This might be amplified where it takes the meaning of the Greek word, okay? As some translations do, they will take the meaning behind the Greek word, right? So each of you must put off falsehood. Why? The Bible says, do liars have eternal life? No liar shall enter into eternal life, Scripture says. Actually, some of the other translations are stronger than the King James. I used to think the King James was the strongest version, but I found out some of the other versions are using stronger words like must. Okay? In other words, we cannot continue lying and expect to get to heaven. Why? Then the process of sanctification is not going on. You're not being sanctified, eh? If you continue lying, continue cheating. Right? So therefore, you must put off falsehood. Everything false you must put off. Speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Okay? Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. But let the sun go down upon your wrath, King James. Do not give the devil a foothold. Think of what you're doing when you tell a lie. Think of this. You're giving the devil a foothold in your life, in your family, in your business, in your body, in your health. You're giving him a foothold when you tell a lie. When you're angry without a cause. He who has been stealing must steal no longer. You can't continue. He must work doing something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those in need.
The NIV is
must. NIV? Okay. And some other translations too. Some other translations too are must. This might be NIV. New King James?
Doesn't have.
No, it doesn't. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patience. I think that's King James, right? And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Do servants of God ever strive? Do they ever fight with someone? Do they ever quarrel? Sure. Okay. But we must not. So in other words, the word must is placed here. And if it's not actually used, it's the spirit behind it. That is, the Holy Spirit will say, you're supposed to do this, okay? And be gentle to all people, right? If you're a servant of God. Okay? You must not strive. So again, must means to be compelled. Well, what compels us to be gentle to people? Love. What compels us to be peacemakers? Blessed are the peacemakers for what? They shall be called the children of God. Okay. What compels us? Love. What produced the love? Faith. Faith expresses itself in love. Okay. So, Romans 12:9. I'm sorry, I should have put the translations up here, but I didn't. Love must be sincere. Okay. I think in King James it says let. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. A.A. Hodge, son of, I think it's Charles Hodge, is it? Who's the theologian? Charles Hodge, Mike?
I think so.
Yeah, that's his son. Also a Presbyterian minister. Faith must have adequate evidence, else it is mere superstition. Okay. Faith must have adequate evidence, else it is mere superstition. Okay. In other words, faith must produce works, and it will if it's stimulated. And we have to allow the stimulation. We have to seek the stimulation. Okay? You have to seek the Word of God. You have to seek prayer. Okay? Seek the Holy Spirit. Right? Paul said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to pray for the Holy Spirit to control us and to stimulate us. So faith must have adequate evidence. To the Corinthians, Paul writes, we must not gratify evil desires and indulge in immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 suddenly fell dead in a single day. Right? I know that's not King James. We must not gratify evil desires. Okay? We must not. Now, were the Corinthians Christians? Did they have faith? Of course. Right? So he's writing to people who have faith, telling them what they ought not do. Okay? And that is to gratify their sinful desires. Right? We see they have faith. We read this, and my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. So that what? Your faith. Okay? They were people of faith, and they needed to have their faith stimulated. 2 Corinthians 10:15. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, okay? There. As your faith continues to grow. Right? So the Corinthians had faith. It must be stimulated. Okay? 1 Corinthians 7:10-11. To the married, I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband. Okay? But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else to be reconciled to her husband, and her husband must not divorce his wife. Right? Do any Christian wives separate or divorce from their husbands in the church? Yes, they do. Why? Because they're not stimulated. Their faith is not stimulated. Do any who are divorced their husbands or leave their husbands remarry? Yes, they do. Why? Because their faith is not stimulated to obedience to God. Do any husbands divorce their wives? Yes, they do in the church and people who have faith. You can't say because the person got a divorce they're not a Christian. No. Their faith was not stimulated to love their wife more or their husband more. Okay. That's all. 2 Corinthians 1:11, you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. We must pray. Okay? God moves through prayer. Okay? You want God to do something? Pray. Pray. So the word must gives us a sense of urgency. Okay? Hebrews 2:1-2, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Right? We must. Urgent. Because if we don't, we will drift. Okay? We will drift away. In some translations, I think here it says ought. We ought to give more earnest heed. The word ought expresses duty, necessity, and moral obligation. Must is a little bit stronger word, but both ought and must are stronger than should. Okay, so he's not saying we should, which is a good word, but he's saying we ought or we must. Right? They're very similar, ought and must, must a little bit more forceful. Right? A greater sense of urgency, we must. Right? Whoever claims to live in him, whoever claims to be a Christian, must walk as Jesus did. Right? It's not optional. We ought to. We must. We're obligated to. And God's Spirit makes it possible. So, if you find yourself not walking according to the Scriptures, or acting like Jesus at any time in your life, in my life, then we have to seek stimulation, okay, to do that, to seek faith stimulated. So let's just go over these quickly here. Stimulated faith, stimulated by commendation. Okay. Well done, God may say to you. Right? Someone may say to you, that was encouraging, thank you. Right? You did good thing for me, I appreciate it. Okay? That should stimulate your faith to do more. Right? Commendation. Fellowship. Rewards that God offers us in Scripture, there are many. Holy Scripture stimulates. The Holy Spirit stimulates. Examples can either stimulate us to good or to bad. If we have the wrong companions, we'll be stimulated to sin, stimulated to curse, stimulated to lie. Right? So we need good examples. Reflection on God's mercies past, right? And our senses. What we see, what we hear of someone's plight, and our heart should be moved. Not just say, oh, I pity that person, but actually to do something, okay? To step out and do something. You don't need money to help. You don't need income. You don't need much to help, right? The Macedonian church, out of their poverty, okay, out of their poverty, they did great things for the people of God. Right? So any questions on this study tonight? Faith will produce love and good works when stimulated. Right? So hopefully your faith has been stimulated a little bit more tonight. Right? Hopefully. Unto love and good works. Any questions? Comments? All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the many ways that you condescend to our low estate to stimulate us to gain heaven, to run that race and win the prize. Lord, you stimulated your children of old by these means and perhaps by other means. Lord, are we being stimulated by these means? Are we growing in faith which produces love and good works? Oh, that we would, Lord. Because anything else is just superstition. It must produce fruit. For Jesus said, you are my disciples if you bear much fruit. Oh, that we would, Lord. So we place our faith before your loving eyes, your tender hand, and we pray, Lord, you stimulate it. Stimulate our faith, Lord, to obey you in greater ways, to love you more deeply, to love holiness, to be weaned from this world and all the foolishness of this world. It is here today and gone tomorrow, this world, and yet we are so attached to it, Lord. We need to be further sanctified by your Spirit. Stimulate us, Lord, unto full sanctification. In Jesus' name, amen.